Everyone, I'm Chaplain John McTernan, and this is our Saturday night outpouring of the Holy Spirit night. And I always like Saturday night. It must be the day, too, that's involved, but I like Saturday night. And we're going to be teaching on the second great outpouring of the Holy Spirit, also known as the Revival of 1800. And it's one of my favorites. It's one of my favorites. Well, they're all my favorites, but a little bit more for the Revival of 1800. And this is open for about 2 hours. We go for about 2 hours. There's teaching, and then I would like to have prayer for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and then music. And if we're getting going, I haven't really done this on Saturday night, but if we're getting going and we want to stay and have some more music, then we can keep it going. So let's see who is here. All right. We have Sister Sharon leading off here. Hello, Sister Sharon.
Yes. Hi, Chaplain John. I'm so happy to hear your voice. It just seems like it's a long 24 hours or so with a Friday and no prayer time in the morning with you. So Saturday night is a wonderful time for me, too.
Oh, you're suffering, Sister Sharon. Oh, that touches me. You know, that extra break there, it causes you to suffer. That's nice. You're not responding.
That I did that. I'm sorry. I
Oh,
caused that.
yeah, I'm only kidding with you, but that break, that 24 hours, it made you sound like you were suffering, missing the time.
Oh, well, you get so much of the program, how it goes, and the routine and stuff. And I mean, I adjust to the routine of not having to you on for that time, but I
Yeah,
sure like it a whole lot more when you're on.
yeah, that's cute, Sister Sharon. You know, I was kidding you about sufferings. Hey, so how did Friday night go?
We had a very, very
Yeah, you're breaking up now, Sharon, if you can hear me.
okay,
Okay,
sorry.
you're back. I hear your voice.
Okay. We had a very good turnout. A lot of people showed up, and a lot of people really seemed like they wanted to pray. And Kathy gave us an update on something she was doing and stuff. So we had a really good time.
Good, good. Now, Sister Kathy, you know I need a second witness here.
I concur and agree. It was true.
All right,
Yeah.
that's sealed now. It's
That's
sealed.
it.
Hey, listen now. Friday night, I preached because Pastor Ernie gave me 7 minutes to share
Wow.
a salvation message. So. I started right at Revelation 5:9, and about how in heaven there the elders are singing the song, a new song to the Lamb, and they go, for thou wert slain, oh, for you were slain, and has redeemed us to blood. Oh. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood, out of every kindred, tongue, people, and nation. So I preached backwards. I usually preach to that verse, but this time I started from that verse and then came backward. You know what I mean by backward? You know.
Yeah.
So it went, Pastor Ernie loved it. I mean, he
Well.
absolutely loved it. When I finished, he told the listeners, he goes, every word John spoke was truth. That was wonderful. He goes, that was real truth about salvation and all. So he really, really liked it. I mean, I don't think he's ever, maybe once or twice he's made comments like that, but he really liked it. So what I did was I started by telling the listeners, well, let the people tell you in heaven tell you how they got there. And so I used that verse, Revelation 5:9. And then I went back to like John 3:16 and some other verses, repentance. So he really liked it. Because it's proof. They're in heaven and they tell you how they got there, right?
Yes. Yeah.
And so he really liked it. And then today, I taught it would be Sunday school, and it was the second week there that I taught on healing the brokenhearted, and it went really, really, really good when they interacted with it. It went really good,
Amen.
and we got a lot. I didn't really follow the teaching that I have. I mean, I had some verses up there, and I posted them and I wanted to see them and all. But basically, it was like testimony and sharing things and some knowledge that I had picked up from praying with so many people. And they really, really liked it. And these were real disciples because they wanted this under their belt. To be able to share with people when they prayed with them. So I was very, very pleased. And went about it, went, oh, well over an hour. Someone said it's 1:30, I remember. Start a little after 12. So it went really good. In May, I'm going to start on Wednesday night teaching the seminar about healing the brokenhearted.
You mean as soon as you finish up Revelation, you'll just go right into that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, we have Brother Charles here. Hello, Brother Charles.
Hey, Captain. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing really good. We've had storms here all day, and they were talking about possible thunderstorms. I mean tornado storms. But there are no tornado. In fact, it's quiet now. Just up to the show, it was rumbling all day long. But what was really strange about today, the rain, I mean, it would pour like a deluge for 5-10 minutes and then stop. And then half hour later, it would pour. It was no steady rain. And it would just pour rain for, I couldn't tell you how long. I mean, it was not an hours, but like some length of time, and then just stopped. And it was fine for a certain period of time, and then a deluge would come again. And that's the way, when I left this morning to go to church, it was muggy, humid, and no rain. And then during the service, it was, I mean, you could hear the rain pounding on the roof and the thunder and all. And then for the rest of the day, that's how it was. Thunder, lightning, pouring rain, and then it would stop.
Yes, sir. Did you teach at Mount Shalom this morning?
Yeah, I sure. Yes. Yes.
Oh, okay, great.
Yeah.
Hey, Cap, one other thing I want to ask you about. I sent you something from the Gateway Pundit about that Islamic city being planned outside Dallas.
Yeah, that's that's about half an hour west of Dallas.
Yes, sir. It sounded like the governor had already said in state law that Sharia law would not be tolerated.
Yes. Yep. Yeah.
So yes, sir.
They won't allow. The Muslims are making a big push here in Texas. They're trying to really gain big footholds here in Texas.
Yes, sir.
And also, yes, sir, they're doing the same thing here with the illegal aliens.
Yeah.
Now, President Trump there and the guy under him, Christine Noem, and then the border czar, the border czar that's working with her, she's ahead of
Tom Holland. Yeah,
she's ahead of what agency is that?
Department of Homeland Security.
Homeland Security. Yeah, they're really hitting Houston hard. You know, I see it in the papers or hear it on the news all the time. I don't read the papers anymore. Online, I see it. I mean, they're arresting like 150, 170 at a shot here in Houston. I mean, they're really making a lot of arrests.
Well, good. Okay, well, thank you, Chaplain. I'm looking forward to the show.
Okay. And I wanted to say hello to Gigi and Randy.
Yes, good evening. We are here. We're looking forward to the movie, too. Thank you.
Okay, no movie, just me.
Oh, I thought you said it was like in the films that we watched. Oh, that's fine. You're going to do it. I thought it was Revival TV. That's what I thought it was.
Yeah. You know, I searched Revival TV. I spent... serious time going through it, and I didn't really come up with anything new. And maybe sometime in the future, I'd like to go back to Armenia. That was really good.
That was very interesting.
Yeah, I'd like to go back with Armenia. Okay. And then we have Sister Rita. Hello, Sister Rita.
Hello, Chaplain John, and hello to everyone.
Well, they're muted, so they can't really say hello. And then we have Sister Holly here. Hello, Sister Holly. Good seeing you.
Hello, Chaplain John.
I guess I should hearing you. It's good hearing you.
Yeah, I never know how to put that, but I wanted to just touch bases with you and tell everyone hello.
Okay.
And there was two things I wanted to say. I wanted to thank you for Thursday night's teaching. I just finished listening to it again, and it was so good, Chaplain John. Thank you for that. It just it made me happy. And, you know, the more I listen, the more understanding that I have, and I'm appreciative of that. I know, I think it was the night before that, Brother Charles was expressing his feelings, and I could certainly, I understood those feelings because I've had those in my lifetime, sometimes even now. But, you know, I just trust the Lord that he'll show me, and I'm thankful for your teaching. And I think I even read somewhere that Martin Luther got so frustrated with the book of Revelation that he threw his Bible in a river. Have you ever heard that?
No, I have not heard that. But what I did hear was the reformers, as we would call them, you know, they touched just about everything in Scripture, but not Revelation. And like prophecy, you know, like prophecy, they didn't get into Christ's second coming very much at all, but Revelation, they didn't get into it at all. And they basically left it the way the Catholic Church had presented it, you know, just Christ comes and that's the end. So they did not. So that's why I teach, and I say this openly and boldly. There was a second Reformation in the 1800s, you could say in the mid-1800s, and that it was over prophecy. So the Lord, what the reformers didn't pick up in the 1500s, it was picked up, the Lord wanted it brought out in the 1800s to have it in place for today.
Yeah,
so
I believe that too. I really hadn't given that thought, but I can see what you're saying.
Yeah.
The other thing I wanted to talk to you about, but you've already touched bases on it, is I listened in last night, and oh, you did such a wonderful job on the closing. I mean,
really?
It was.
Well, did you hear Ernie? Did you hear Pastor Ernie when he said time was up at the end?
I did, and I was so thankful that he said that. But you just went at a different angle, and
right.
It was perfect. Just
He took me not took me back. He surprised me a little because there was very little time left. But he said, I don't know how he got into it, but he said, I want all the listeners to know that what I said was absolute perfect truth. He said,
that's right. What John just said was truth. Every bit of it was true.
Oh, that's amazing that you happen to be listening there because And he also said that a while back I preached on John 3 that ye must be born again. And I preached on that, and he really liked that when I closed on ye must be born again in John 3.
Yeah.
Okay,
go ahead. I'm just excited about what the Lord is doing with your ministry. And I can't wait to listen in tonight. Always am blessed.
Okay. Yeah, and so, Holly, what I'm doing is I'm going to do a sequence about what happens when the Lord comes for us. So I'm going to start with the rapture and then take it up into heaven, and then into the marriage supper of the Lamb, the New Jerusalem, the second coming of Christ, and what happens through us with what happens to the universe when it talks about the we're manifested, the sons of God are manifested with Christ's return, and the heavens are in shaking and they're melting in fervent heat. That's because that's triggered with our appearance. And then when Christ returns, we're going to reign and rule with him. So I want to make it a big, as much as the scriptures has revealed, I want to make it conclusive. I want to make it so we we know what our future is. Because a lot of what I'm sharing, a lot of it's not preached. So people don't, unless they pick it up themselves, but they don't know like what our future is, other than, well, we're going to be in heaven.
Yeah, you know, Chaplain John, my biggest question, and I don't know that I've ever heard anyone even talk about this, but you know how we are brought into this earth through our mothers?
Yes.
And I've always wondered how we will be brought into the New Jerusalem, or how we will be ushered into heaven. I just think about
we're going to be brought into heaven through the rapture, when our bodies are going to be transformed. We won't be resurrected because we'll be alive. So our bodies will be transformed instantly to the exact structure of Jesus's body. And then he takes us to heaven complete. Body, soul, and spirit complete. He takes us to heaven.
But we just won't show up like, bam, we're there, will we?
Say that again, Holly.
I said we won't just show up like, bam, we're there.
Well, kind of, because he's going to, you know, the last trumpet, he's going to sound. It's going to sound, and he'll say, come up hither. And there's the Bible says we're going to be lifted like clouds to meet the Lord in the air. You know, there's going to be a huge resurrection and those that are alive.
Okay.
All right.
Well, thank you very much. Nice talking with you.
Okay. All right. Let's go over now, and we're going to look at the Great Revival of 1800. Oh, what I'd like to do tonight is teach on this. Then when I'm finished, we'll have prayer about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and then music. I really feel strong for music tonight. So let's get, let me get this over so you can see it. All right. Part two here of revivals. And there's a gathering the way it would look in 1800. And you see the tents in the background. That's when they started the revivals. They'd stay for a week or more at a time. They bring their tents. They'd live in their tents. They come with a lot of wagons. And that's how it started, right there. The tent revivals. It started with the Great Revival of 1800. The great outpouring of the Holy Spirit. This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I shall show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The moon shall be turned into darkness, the sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then Acts 2:41, and then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Howbeit, Acts 4:4, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. So after the Peter's preaching on the day of Pentecost, when he was finished, he gave a, I guess we would call it like a salvation call, and 3,000 came to the Lord. So 3,000 came to the Lord under the baptism, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. So that's a significant number without any aid. There was no amplification of Peter's voice other than maybe by the Holy Spirit. But I want you to see here, I want to go through this slowly and just chew on this a little about the hour we live in. This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. Now, this is Peter speaking. And there's a big crowd has come because there was a great noise they could hear with the coming of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. So here it's telling us, the word's telling us, that the outpouring of the Holy Spirit is available. I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. That's male and female. And your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Okay, there's the young and the old. And on my servants and on my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. So servant and handmaidens. Servants is really another way of saying slaves. And handmaidens are like kind of not person low class, but like living. Like their job would be low class. That's what handmaidens are. So it's focusing on the poor there, the word, in those days of my Spirit. So even the lowly in society, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit is for them. And they shall prophesy. And I shall show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. Now we are into the tribulation signs. And the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. Then it says, and that it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Then we read on, and under Peter's preaching, 3,000 come to the Lord. So those 3,000 come to the Lord under the outpouring of the Holy Spirit that occurred on Pentecost. But I want you to see there that it follows through that the outpouring of the Holy Spirit is going to continue until the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and notable day of the Lord come. That's the second coming of Jesus Christ. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So the salvations are going to occur right up to the coming of the Lord, or the potential for it. And then Peter preached, and as I said, 3,000 came to the Lord. When you read this, there's no indication that the outpouring of the Holy Spirit is going to stop until the second coming of the Lord. There's no indication here. In fact, there is none. It's clear when you read this that the outpouring of the Holy Spirit is going to continue to what it calls the great and notable day of the Lord come. That's the second coming of Jesus Christ. And during that period of time, it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then we read on, and as I mentioned and showed in the scriptures, 3,000 came to the Lord on the day of Pentecost. And later it says 5,000 men came to the Lord. So the reason I want to emphasize this, it's just that I've been running kind of into the thing that there is no more outpouring of the Holy Spirit, that it happened on Pentecost and that's it. It's this whole stuff about the end times and great revivals and outpourings of the Holy Spirit, that's all nonsense. It's going to get worse and worse and worse. And there's no great outpourings because this is the end times. Well, Scripture doesn't say anything about that here. And people that do this, they're looking in, at maybe the United States and then trying to project it all over the world. And if they don't think there's going to be an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, of course they're not going to pray for it. And if they don't pray for it, there won't be any. So I'm going to encourage everybody that there's no hindrance because man is becoming wicked, more wicked, let's say, and more sinful. That does not negate a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So, and everybody here in the ministry knows this. You know, I'm preaching over in Pakistan and over in Kenya, and we're seeing significant amount of Muslims coming to the Lord, imams coming to the Lord, numbers of Hindus coming to the Lord. And if we go by the day of Pentecost, with 3,000 coming to the Lord, I mean, this ministry on some occasions has matched that numbers-wise. It was the biggest one was in Hyderabad, Pakistan, and I think it was 8,000, mostly Hindus, a lot of Hindus came to the Lord. Now, how can you say there are no more outpourings of the Holy Spirit? Don't pray for it. That's error. What it is going to be just things are going to get worse and worse. Yeah, if things can get worse and worse, that doesn't negate God sending the great outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Acts tells us that it's going to continue until the great and notable day of the Lord come. And that should come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And you read on in Acts chapter 2, and 3,000 souls came to the Lord that day. So I just want to bring that to everybody's attention again, that wickedness and sin should drive us to our knees. And that's what happened in the great outpouring, the second great awakening in America. It started in the year 1800, June of 1800. And it was a wicked time in America's history where it's maybe relative. It's not as wicked as today. I mean, if they didn't have to face woke and the homosexual agenda and transgender and killing babies in the womb and all that. Yeah. So today it's on a new level. But as far as old-fashioned sin goes, they had to face that in those days. It was the same with the first Great Awakening and the third Great Awakening. The country was in steep spiritual decline. And that decline in the late 1790s caused the people we're going to be looking at this. In Logan County, Kentucky, there were three small churches under one pastor to make a prayer covenant and cry out to the Lord for a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And that one particular church at that prayer covenant, because I'm sure there were others, but that becomes the focal point of the great outpouring of the Holy Spirit in 1800. They could have said back then, oh, this is the end times, because a lot of people felt that. And the wickedness and the sin is so bad, forget it. We're no use praying. No, they got a hold of God's word and they prayed and it took about 2 years from what I understand. They made the prayer covenant for 1 year, but they kept it going. So the historians believe there's no date on it. They believe it was about 2 years. And then the great outpouring of the Holy Spirit fell on that church that had been praying. And then it spread all across the country, shook America, really shook the country. It pulled us out of steep spiritual decline and turned America into the great missionary movement started during this great, great outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Many colleges were built because they wanted to teach preachers, they want educated preachers in the pulpit. Slavery, the abolitionist movement started through this movement. So the great outpouring of the Holy Spirit is as viable today as it ever was. They prayed earnestly for quite a while, never wavered, and this little church, well, actually three churches, let me see if I remember now, the Mud River, the River, and the Red River. And it was the Red River Church where the Holy Spirit fell on the third Sabbath in June. I think it was June 20th, 1800. The Mud River, the Da-da-da River, and the Red River. Third River, no, oh, now got myself going trying to think of it. All right. So let's go on with this now. And, all right. This is also important about the three scriptures that talk about remember God's works. And I absolutely think that we don't have to go back to what happened during the Exodus or any other time in the church, in the history, that would be Israel's history. We can go back in our own history. So let's listen to, let me read these verses. Psalm 77:11. And I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. Well, what about the wonders of old here, going back to 1800? What God, what the Lord did during the great revival of 1800? That's wonders of old. Psalm 105:5. Remember his marvelous works, which he hath done, his wonders, and the judgments of his mouth. So, yeah, remember his marvelous works. The first great awakening, the second great awakening, the third great awakening, Azusa Street, you know, great evangelists, Finney, D.L. Moody, R.A. Torrey, that one guy, Gypsy Smith. When you go back in time, all we really know is a couple of the really outstanding ones, like D.L. Moody, R.A. Torrey. But there was Mordecai Ham. There was Gypsy Smith. And they're powerful. I love that name, Mordecai Ham. Ham's not kosher. Mordecai Ham. Mordecai Ham is the one, I believe, that led Billy Graham to the Lord. And there are other ones there. John Jewlett, there's another one, but I'm pulling him out of my head now. And there was the one that gave his ministry to Appleman. He was a Jewish evangelist. Chaim Appleman, I believe his name was. He had a huge tent, and he went all over the country, and he got older, and the Lord told him to give the whole ministry to his understudy, which was Billy Sunday, and he did. He gave his whole ministry to Billy Sunday and says, it's yours now. Chaim Appleman, I believe, was his name. Oh, yeah. He was a great evangelist in the 1800s, early 1900s. Yeah. So there were many of them, folks. I mean, we had great revivalists going through the country, all across America. Psalm 143:5. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. Yeah, thinking about the revivals of Finney. How about that's something good to think on, and what happened during those revivals? I muse on the works of thy hands. Muse is a real intense meditation. Muse is like you get lost in your meditation. You don't know what time it is, what day it is, and all of that. I muse. It's it's another level of meditation on the word. Or hear the works of what the Lord did on the works of thy hands. So now we're going to focus, go back and remember the works of old. Remember his marvelous works. Remember the days of old and meditate on all thy works about what happened in 1800. All right. It's called the Second Great Awakening. And starting in Well, right after the revolution, right after really reformed the government in 1789, and with the Constitution, probably was going on before that, but there was a steep decline in the things of God here in America. I mean, really steep. And the people that were alive back then were really, really concerned about the condition of the nation. And it was like the things of God were being abandoned in great numbers, and it was atheists and, you know, the French infidels. Oh, that might be it, folks. Come to think of it. The people back then called them the French infidels. And there was, come on now, brain, kick in here. Voltaire was leading it. Voltaire was he was like kind of one of the fathers of the French Revolution, which, you know, wasn't, the French Revolution was not a success, folks. I mean, huge numbers of people were slaughtered, and you could say that the revolutionaries there, would it be a form of wokeness today? They hated God. I mean, hated him. They hated God so much that they wanted to change the Bible so much that they had 10 day, instead of having a week of 7 days, they stretched it to 10 days just to get away from, you know, the week being 7 days from the scriptures. But the society couldn't function. The animals couldn't function. Everything was built around 7 days. They had their Congress there in Paris, and they, where that the phrase comes, like the left wing and the right wing. So the right wing here is conservatives, and the left wing is the real hardcore liberal reprobates. So, and what they did in France was in Matthew 25, I think it's 49. Really, it's in the 40s. The scripture says, then shall he say to them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for Satan and his angels. So they saw that those that were on, he talked about them on the left hand of God, they hated God, and that they were going to be put into hell. So in France, in their parliament, everybody wanted to be associated with the left hand. Seriously. And that stuck to today. That stuck to today about the left and the right and all. But they, from that verse, they decided they hated God so much. And then they had Lady Liberty there. Their liberty was licentiousness and all of that. So Lady Liberty was a French prostitute there. They promoted her as Lady Liberty. And yet that French sin and all that jumped over to America. And it was right up to Napoleon's coming. That was gripping America. And, that's probably why we went into that steep decline. It was like precipitous decline in the 1790s. So we come to it's Logan County, Kentucky, in the 1790s, and it's one of the worst places in America. There's no law there. It was criminals would go there because the law couldn't reach them there. And so it was full of all sorts of criminals, drunks. There were saloons all over the place and prostitution. And when you read the reports, and I'm sure that report that I read had to be from the pastor here, James McCready, they were losing their children to gambling and horse racing. They didn't want anything to do with God. They wanted gambling and horse racing. And of course, violence was all over the place, drunkenness, and then prostitution and violence. It was a very violent area there. So God's people, led by MacReady, decided that they were going to cry unto the Lord for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit to deal with everything that they were living through. And the area, by the way, they had a special name for it. It was called Rogue's Harbor. Rogue's Harbor. And they created this prayer covenant. And I'll show it to you in a few minutes here. As a direct result of the condition of that area, but not only that area, America, in the 1700s. And of course, then the God heard the prayer and he sent the Great Revival of 1800, also known as the Second Great Awakening. Now, MacReady, my take on him was he was like a quote, average pastor with a lot of faith. He wasn't known as a theologian. He wasn't known. I would say, I'm going to leave it as that because I don't know that much about him. There isn't a lot of writing about him. He was born in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. He went to a Presbyterian seminary. He left Pennsylvania and headed south. He spent time in Virginia. And while he was in Virginia, there was, he writes about, there was some moves of the Holy Spirit. This is in the 1790s. Anytime he writes about that, though he really doesn't give you any details, he'll just say, I was in this area of Virginia here, and there was some moves of the Holy Spirit or outpouring of the Holy Spirit. It was small, and they didn't affect the whole nation. But the Lord was working in all of this. Then he left Virginia and he went to North Carolina. In North Carolina, there were some really, really tough sinners there. And they didn't like MacReady preaching on sin or against sin. So one day, apparently, they killed a pig and took the blood. And MacReady had a home there. And they sprayed the blood all over the inside of the home. And on the outside, they put something about leave, get out of here, and blood. So MacReady decided to take his family and move. And I don't know how he got to Logan County, Kentucky from North Carolina, but he did. He went to Logan County, Kentucky. Now I have a map here of Kentucky and Logan County. So hang on here. Let me get it. Okay. There's Kentucky. So he was in North Carolina, which of course he's from Pittsburgh, which is, if you can see, and then he came down to Virginia here along the coast. I think he was in Norfolk, Virginia. Then he comes to North Carolina. He leaves North Carolina and he comes to Logan County. There's Logan County, real western part of Kentucky, right on the border with Tennessee and the Gasper River. I knew it was a G. So here is the Mud River, the top arrow here. The one to the right pointing down, that's the Gasper River. This is the Mud River. And this is the Red River here. I got the arrow pointing to the Red River. And the church was over here where it says 591. The church was right above 591, somewhere up in there, just off the Red River. All right. So they started to pray. They made a prayer covenant. And by faith, they prayed. So here is the prayer covenant that I believe triggered the great outpouring of the Holy Spirit of 1800. Remember, these are three small churches, folks. And I'll show you one church shortly, a replica of it. When we consider the word and promises of a compassionate God to the poor, lost family of Adam, we find the strongest encouragement for Christians to pray in faith, to ask in the name of Jesus for the conversion of their fellow men. None ever went to Christ when on earth with the case of their friends that were denied. And although the days of his humiliation are ended, yet for the encouragement of his people, he has left it on record that where two or three agree upon earth to ask in prayer, believing, it shall be done. Again, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. With these promises before us, we feel encouraged to unite our supplications. Now, supplications are intense prayer. To a prayer-hearing God, here it is, for the outpouring of His Spirit. The year is 1800. It's roughly 1800 years since the Lord went to the cross. They didn't doubt anything about an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. They believed that God would send it, that His people may be quickened and comforted, and that our children and sinners generally may be converted. They were concerned about their children. They were being lost to the world. Therefore, we bind ourselves to observe the third Saturday of each month for 1 year as a day of fasting and prayer. Now look at this. For the conversion of sinners in Logan County. Now that's a nice prayer request, and that can take a lot of faith. That's an excellent prayer request. And throughout the world, they had a big vision, folks. Their vision was not limited to Logan County, which when you go back and you look at it, the year 1800, Logan County, folks, was the wilderness. It was the frontier. And they were on the far end of it. They were as far west as you could, not as you could go, but they were on the western end of it. How in the world could the world be reached like with them in Logan County? That's a vision, folks, from the Lord throughout the world. So they wanted a move of the Lord in Logan County to win the sinners. And of course, they wanted their children to come to the Lord, but they wanted to go throughout the world. Amazing when you stop and think of it. That's the vision they had. That's the faith they had. They wanted this move of the Holy Spirit in Logan County to spread throughout the world. So we also engage to spend 1/2 hour every Saturday evening, beginning at the setting of the sun, and 1/2 hour every Sabbath morning from the rising of the sun, pleading with God to revive His work. Pleading with God to revive His work. And then to this document, this covenant, he and they, the people of the three small churches, affixed their names. That was it, folks. That was the prayer covenant they made. Historians seem to think it was 1798 that they made it. And they prayed like this covenant for 2 years. And then in 1800, June of 1800, the great outpouring of the Holy Spirit fell right on McCready's church there on the Red River. Okay, there is Kentucky, there's Logan County, and then there is the churches, the three small churches, Mud River, the Gaspar River, and the Red River. Now, here's a state marker on the road there to the church, the replica of the church, Red River Meeting House. You might not be able to read this. 3 miles east is site of early pioneer church organized by a society of Presbyterians, 1789. Here, the great revival of 1800 was conducted by the Reverend James McCready. First camp meetings held here. And I showed you that, the tent meetings. But listen to that again. Here, the Great Revival of 1800 was conducted by the Reverend James McCready. Well, there's something powerful about that. The Great Revival of 1800 was conducted by the Reverend James McCready. Even the state of Kentucky recognizes it, folks. Well, that's a historical marker, but you know, even the state of Kentucky realizes what took place here in 1800 and how it affected the course of Logan County, Kentucky, the United States, and eventually the world, because 1820 is considered the year that America really became a missionary nation. The missionaries was sent out starting in 1820 in ships all over the world. And the revival was still going. The revival fires that started right here down the road here, 3 miles east, it was still burning in 1820 that the people were going to China and India and all over the world bringing the gospel. Amazing. Now, here is a replica of the church back there in the woods. If you look on the left-hand side, it looks like a little kind of wall there with some sort of monument in front of it. That's was the site of the original church right there. They were all wood and they rotted, and I think there was that replica is probably like the third, fourth one since the original. But that's the way the church worked. That's that's the way it looked. It was a exact replica of the way it was in 1800. And so what happened was there were some moves of the Lord, which McCready writes about, but he doesn't really describe it. He just said there was a move of the Lord. The Spirit fell and that leading up to this. And they were getting more frequent and more intense. So he refers to the third Sabbath in June, which was, I believe, June 20th. And he was sure that there was going to be a real move of the Lord. So he put the clarion call out, and a whole bunch of people came. Pastors came, a whole bunch of people came. And they were there from like dawn to dusk, praying, and pastors were taking turns preaching. You know, nothing happened. So everybody was downcast and disappointed because they were sure that there was going to be a move of the Lord. So he dismissed. And as I studied history here about it, there was women there that decided to give God thanks for answered prayer. And while they were giving God thanks for answered prayer, the Holy Spirit fell. And that started the great outpouring of the Holy Spirit of 1800 on that little church right there. So the word spread that something had happened with God in this church. So people from all around began to pour in. Now, I don't know how many acres the church had, but it had several acres. And I believe it was open acreage, so maybe it was used for cattle grazing and that. But they began to hold these open meetings because way outgrew the church. And preachers, McCready was preaching, but none of the other preachers would. McCready said they stood afar off looking. And finally they saw so much mighty works of the Lord that these preachers began to jump in and to preach. So they would cut down some of the bigger trees, and the preachers would stand up on the stump of the trees and they preach from there, and they became known as stump preachers. Now, eventually they had to move from here, and then eventually the move of the Lord that was taking place went further north into Kentucky, and they had huge, huge meetings, 30, 40,000 people. But this is where it started, right here in these grounds that we're looking at. And in fact, before I forget, let me show you this. Well, if you can look there, there's trees all around there. There's some big oak trees. And what happened was there was a tree that had been there at the time of the revival. It was probably a sapling, a smaller tree. But I'm going to call on Sister Kathy here. Now, Mrs. Kathy is not here. All right, that's all right. But there was some, I'm going to call him pastor. He could have been a church leader. Sister Kathy was aware of him. And this tree was struck by lightning and fell, and it went back to 1800 with Pastor McCready. And they were going to, like, chop it up, but he ended up saying, no, don't, because it was right there. It would probably be to the left, as you somewhere back in here to the left that you're looking at. And he took that tree and made things out of the wood. So Sister Kathy found out about it, and she bought me this pen here, if you can see it. And that wood comes from the trees right there on these grounds that was alive when McCready preached. They did a nice job. They had pewter on it, and some, they embedded some like pretty stones in it and all. So I've had this for a number of years now, that Sister Kathy gave it to me as a gift. But this here literally comes from the grounds you're looking at, folks. And it had to be a huge, huge, like, oak tree. That tree must have fell. I can't think of the year that I was here. 2000. I took these pictures, folks. 2000. I was on a speaking tour with my book, As America Has Done to Israel. I think that was 2004. And I believe that tree fell after that. But yeah, that's touching though. I got this here. Every time I see it, I think of the Great Revival of 1800. I got it here on my desk. I'm looking at it like it's the revival of 1800. All right. Now, this was so powerful. This move of the Lord. And I know that there was great power manifested in the revival of the Azusa Street Revival, 1906, April 1906. But this one here, now, if you look at this picture here right in front of your eyes, let me get it over. Sort of on the bottom, you can see a road cut in there, like a driveway. And it comes in and then it turns to the left. So pretend, just for what I'm going to use this as an example. The Holy Spirit literally, like, claimed acreage here for this move of the Spirit. And if only people that were saved in Christ could function in there. The others, when they came in there, they would collapse on the ground and think they felt like they were being drawn into hell. Because the scripture, Jesus said, when he sends the Holy Spirit, he'll convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. So they were like bumping up to the spiritual, physical presence of the Holy Spirit. I guess it's just spiritual presence. And they would immediately be convicted of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Of course, judgment is hell. So there was an invisible line, and that road there, to the left of the road, if you were inside that line, to the left, you had to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you were outside that invisible fence, you're okay. But of course, people didn't know that, and they couldn't see this barrier that the Holy Spirit had set up. So they would come walking across it, and everything was fine until they got to that barrier there on the left side. Soon as they touched that barrier and went inside, they would fall on the ground in agony. That's what eyewitnesses said. They'd be in agony of being in hell. And the people would run over and minister to them, lead them to Christ, and lead them to Christ. But that's how powerful this outpouring was. If you were in that zone and you're up with the Lord, you were fine. If you were not with the Lord and you crossed that barrier, they felt that they were falling into hell. That, again, that's how powerful it was, the great outpouring of 1800. All right, this is that like monument there. And you might not be able to read it. Let's see, the site of the Three River Meeting House, the Red River Meeting House, the Kentucky Shrine, First Frontier Church south and west of the Green River, organized between 1785 and 1789, a society of Presbyterians. Here began the great revival of 1800, world-renowned. It reached its height with thousands attending on the third Sunday in June. Now that's, well, we'll leave it at that. The Reverend James McCready, minister and leader. And here assembled the first camp meeting in Christendom. All right. There's another picture of the restoration, the way it looked. Folks, there's nothing fancy about it. I mean, but that place was loaded with faith. These people had faith. And that's what gets God's attention, faith. There's another picture of it. Closed due to the rapture. There you go. That's the inside. Pretty austere. That's the way it looked in 1800, folks. There's a view from the pulpit. And I had to get a picture of myself behind the pulpit. So there I am. And these are some artist's renditions of what it looked like during the Great Revivals. And you can see the tents in the background. And that started the tent meetings in America. That really, there was still meetings like that going on when I first came to the Lord in the 1970s, but it kind of stopped. You don't see this anymore. If there are meetings, like, you know, in fact, a lot of it now is over Zoom, but you stay in hotels, but these here are outside in campgrounds, and they were still going on in the, but I'd say about 1980, they really started to peter out. I'm sure there was some here and there. These are just artist renditions of the meetings. And then there's Charles Finney, but I'll stop now. Charles Grattison Finney. Okay. Some other things I remember about the Second Great Awakening was they were very concerned about their children because they were being lost to the world, gambling, horse racing, and probably drunkenness, fighting. So in Pastor McCready's writings, he talked about, in our terminology, what he was saying is young kids would come to the Lord and the Holy Spirit would download knowledge into them. And the people were astonished. McCready was astonished at kids that just came to the Lord. And they had this in-depth knowledge of the word. God literally downloaded his word into the children. And also the way it worked is the people were so on fire for the Lord through these meetings. Now, some of them came long distance up in Kentucky, Tennessee, and beyond. On the way back, they were so filled with the Holy Spirit, they would tell everybody what happened, what the Lord did, and they'd lead them to Christ and pray for them. And that's basically the main spreading of the great outpouring of the Holy Spirit in 1800. Now, it did go north to like, I'm not sure if it was Louisville or Lexington, and they had big, huge meetings there also. But the main spreading of the gospel was done by the word of mouth, probably the same way it was as the Apostle Paul. By 1800, things hadn't changed much since the days of the Apostle Paul. So that's how it spread, and it spread very slowly, folks. So it went north into Kentucky and then into Indiana. I don't know about Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, into Pennsylvania. And it went south into Tennessee, South Carolina, into Georgia, North Carolina. Then it turned north to Virginia. And when it went north to start off with, it went into Ohio, Pennsylvania, kind of up towards New England, and turned south to Virginia. And it took years, folks, for the two to converge. Starting in Logan County, they went around the Appalachian Mountains. So it went south to like Georgia and then came north to Virginia. And it went north to Indiana and east, and then turned and headed towards Virginia. And eventually the two forks there, or the two arms, met. And I'd like to find out the year. That would be, I did see it once. I wish I could find it again, but I was shocked at how slow it moved compared to the way things would move today. I mean, it was years spreading out like that. And then the fires were still burning, revival fires. Of course, they were not as hot as they were, but they were burning in 1820 when it triggered the great missionary movement. It was burning in the late 1820s, and that's when Charles Finney got his calling from the Lord, and tremendous revivalist, folks, tremendous Charles Finney, into the 1830s, and then Finney became a pastor at one church, and then he started Oberlin College and things like that. So they probably burnt those fires from 1800. You know, in a slow way, they burnt till around 1840. Then there was a big drop off again, heading into the 1850s, and then to 1857, when the Lord sent the third great, sometimes it's called the third great awakening. It's called the Fulton Street Revival in New York. So it's usually the layman's revival because there were no pastors directly involved. So that's the third great awakening, which we'll pick up, Lord willing, next Saturday. Okay, let's get over here. And Sister Sharon, any questions or comments?
Okay. I really enjoyed hearing this history of the church and the awakening and everything. It's nice that the history was preserved and stuff and taken care of.
Yeah, and it's edifying. That's part of memory, you know, meditating on the things of old that God did. Because I know that was instrumental in me anchoring me in faith that if God could send the first great awakening, if he could send the second great awakening, and then the third great awakening, and the Azusa Street awakening, and the Jesus Revolution awakening, why can't he do it today?
Oh, he will.
Right.
He will.
Exactly. So, but that, what I'm teaching you was, as I was studying this, that's what was going through me. He can do it again. He, in this pattern of years, he can do it again. Okay. It's Gigi and Randy.
Yes. Thank you for teaching on that again. That's always very encouraging. I love that. I love the story of James McCready.
Because he was not a great theologian like Jonathan Edwards. Jonathan Edwards was a great theologian. And George Whitefield was really an evangelist, a fiery, fiery evangelist. McCready was, nothing wrong with it, but he was just a pastor. You know, I'm not saying just a pastor, but he was just a pastor, and he ministered to three small churches. But they had great faith, and that's what God responded to, the faith. So that that opens that up to all of us.
Yes, it does.
John?
Yes, brother.
John?
Yes.
He was just a pastor, but the man really had guts. I mean, when you consider that he was ran out of where he was, and where did he go? Not to some safe, gentle place. He went to the toughest county in Kentucky.
Right.
I mean, that, you know, he went from the firing pan into the fire, you know. He must have really had a lot of courage, that guy.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. He had a lot of faith. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Now, none of his works were published until about, I think about 20 years after he passed away. And then his son published, I think, some of his sermons in that. I didn't read any of them. I'm sure you can get them online. But they never, took hold or anything, you know. But he was God's man. He was God's man, and they got a hold of God through that prayer covenant. The church was with him, and God wanted to send a great outpouring. I'm sure there were many other people, excuse me, praying also. But God chose that Red River Church there in Logan County as ground zero for the great outpouring of the Holy Spirit.
I was going to ask you, do you know if there were newspapers at the time, maybe not necessarily local ones, that covered anything that was happening with him?
That I don't know.
Oh, okay.
That I don't know, but I know, like when Finney was in New York, Finney pastored a church in Manhattan, New York. And the New York Times came out while he was pastoring. The New York Times started like in 1840s, 1850s. And they were picking up his sermons, his Sunday sermons.
That's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. And they would say, like, 54 souls made a profession of faith. So, yeah, they followed him. And I don't know when they stopped and all, but at some time they were reporting on his ministries and printing a sermon on Sunday. Or I guess it would be during the week.
You don't have to answer this question now, but I would like you to answer it at some point. Randy and I went to church a couple weeks ago. I had a very odd conversation. I guess you could call it a conversation with one of the greeters. And I wasn't saying anything. I said nothing. And this guy brings up tongues and how it's just emotional, just an emotional outlet. I didn't really say anything to him. Because I thought, A, we're new. Why is he saying that to me, right? And I kind of know the arguments for when people say, you know, I heard this pastor say, well, we're going to pray for healing, but we don't believe in the gift of healing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean,
You know, I mean, I just couldn't believe it. I'm just shaking my head like, okay, what's wrong with This is outrageous. I mean, you're just making excuses. So, I mean, if the gifts have passed away, isn't teaching one of them?
Yeah, it's okay. Here's the problem with this. The problem is, and this goes like healing the brokenhearted, same thing. They lack power.
Right.
And they're looking for excuses in the word to make up for that lack of power. I'm convinced okay. that's the problem.
Okay.
Does that answer the, does that answer?
Yeah, it does, because I mean, I could prove it to them out of the scriptures, right? But I just thought, okay, this is totally worthless. Plus, I thought it was really weird. I just thought it was really weird because he didn't say it to me once. He said it to me like 3 or 4 times. And finally, I just walked away. But I just thought, yeah, I mean, I just couldn't. I didn't want to. It wasn't that I couldn't respond. I didn't want to.
Yeah.
So, okay. Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I do. I agree with you. It's a faith issue. They don't have
yes.
the faith.
Yes.
So it's
now,
an excuse.
Now, like during the week here, I don't know, Monday or Tuesday, I called a friend of mine from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. Well, actually, not Harrisburg, but the Harrisburg area, Gary. And I was asking him, it doesn't matter why I contacted him, but I contacted him. And Patty had prayed over his wife. And Patty prayed over his wife because she had a bad heart. And he didn't tell me the full extent of it. He just told me that she had a bad heart and that it was kind of serious. So I said, well, Patty will pray for you, pray for her. So Patty did. And I didn't hear anything more about it. And about 6 months later, 9 months later, I'm talking to Gary. And he tells me how he's developed a nervous disorder from the Marines at Camp Lejeune. The water had some chemical in it. Parkinson's disease. Parkinson's.
Right.
And it was traced to that water when he was so he's involved in a big lawsuit now. So I said, well, Gary, you know, why don't you call in and Patty will pray over you. And then I could hear his wife in the background. So he goes, that's my wife, that she knows I'm talking to you. And he said, let me tell you what happened. He was supposed to call in Friday again, and he didn't. Gary didn't call in to be prayed over. But when I was talking to him, this is his wife's heart was at less than 25%.
Wow.
And her aorta was about to blow apart any minute. That she had, her heart was finished. Patty prayed for her, and it just so happens the next week they had a doctor's appointment, you know, with the heart. And the doctor certified that his wife's heart was operating absolutely perfectly.
That's awesome.
Right. Right. So was that of God? You pray in the name of Jesus. And you're giving Jesus the glory, and you're rebuking Satan and all, and she's got a new heart. Now, with Nancy, my wife, Patty prayed for her that Thursday she was going in for the operation. He prayed for her Wednesday night. Nancy said, I don't feel any pain. She was walking around before I took her to the hospital. She said, I don't feel any pain. So she's ready to go in to be operated on. She's on the bed there where she had intravenous in her arms and all that stuff. And I asked, I said, doctor, she was prayed over in the name of Jesus and she has no pain. Would you check her? So we did. He said, she should be screaming in pain. She's got a broken hip. He said, I can't operate on her. She has no pain. I won't operate on a patient that's not in pain like that. So what do you do? I mean, when you pray over someone like that, And he seems to have a specialty. Now, there are a lot of times when the people are instantly healed. There are times when he has to pray three or four times, and there's times he's prayed when, I don't know why, it just doesn't seem, because I've been with him for years. But what do you do with that? You know, he's prayed with so many people. And I could sit here for an hour, Fred Pietman will tell you how Patty prayed for him and his wife and his daughter. Every time Patty prayed for Fred's family, they were healed. His wife took time. Everybody else, Fred himself was like instantly healed. So did the healing end? You know, if you're praying in the name of Jesus and this is happening, is that what, if it's not of Jesus, who was it of?
And, you know, it struck me, I didn't want to say anything, right? But it just struck me, okay, well, isn't the Holy Spirit the one who is responsible to convict so that somebody can be saved?
Yes.
I mean, that's a miracle. That's a big time miracle, right? And so when you look at it, like, healing is small in comparison to somebody being saved.
Yeah. Yeah, well, both, I mean, you on your own, without the Holy Spirit working in your life, you don't come to the Lord. You're dead in sin.
Right.
We're dead in sin.
John?
So, John? Yes, Brother Randy.
Patty has a gift, but it's interesting that the people that he prayed for, I would presume, it'd be interesting to know if they had faith that they were going to be healed, like in the case of Nancy, in the case of the woman that had the heart, whether they had faith they were going to be healed. But we know from the Bible that it doesn't necessarily appear that the people that Jesus healed had faith, does it?
Well, I'll tell you what, when he was at Nazareth, it said he could only heal a few because of their unbelief.
Yeah, that's true.
So when he healed the young daughter, she had faith? She was a believer?
No, Jairus' daughter was dead.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. That's true.
She was dead, somebody had faith, right?
Yes, yes. And then there was the young boy that was throwing himself into the fire and all.
Yeah.
And the Lord said, only if you have faith. And then he said, what did he say? Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief, or free me of my unbelief.
Right.
Yeah, so somewhere faith has to be in there somewhere.
Thank you, Jimmy. I appreciate you spending some time going over that.
I had a friend, Larry. I actually met him through Pastor Ernie, and we became friends. And he had lung cancer really bad. I mean, really bad. So I called him and told him about prayer, and he was a new believer. Maybe the lung cancer had led him to the Lord. So I told him about Patty, and he said, okay. So Patty called him. And he prayed, and Larry started to cough awful. I thought he was going to die. And I said to him, finally, when he calmed down, I said, Larry, he said, this is good coughing. He said, this is good coughing. It's clearing my lungs. This coughing is good. And I said, did you feel like a warmth in your chest? Yes, yes. It was flowing through me in like waves. Yes, yes. So Patty told me he felt he had to pray with Larry another time. So I called Larry. He never answered me back. He never answered me back. So finally, I was calling him because I was annoying calling him, but he never called me back. So finally, he did call me back. And I said, Larry, Patty feels he has to pray with you one more time. He wants to pray with you. He said, no, I don't want to pray with him. And I said, what? He goes, yeah. He said, my lungs are good. And he wouldn't pray with Patty because he was afraid. He had such an experience with God healing his lungs. There, whatever power of the Holy Spirit came over him, that's what he said. He was afraid. He didn't want to pray anymore with Patty.
Wow.
And Larry had stage 4, and he lived. He was an older man, and he lived years. He lived years. They gave him only a month or two to live, and he lived years afterwards after Patty prayed for him.
Wow, that's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, that's what he said to me. No, I don't want to pray with him anymore. No, I'm afraid. No, that was powerful. It was too powerful. It overpowered me. No. Isn't that something?
The Lord healed him.
Yes.
The Lord completely healed him. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I just figure, because I've had people say all kinds of bizarre things. And one of our pastors used to say the person would come up to be prayed for. And he had quite a lot of people get healed and saved and healed. And so he had a guy that said, well, I don't believe in healing. And he said, well, why did you come forward? why did you come forward? If I'm going to pray for you and you're not, you know, you don't think that Jesus is going to heal you. I mean, what's the point, right? And the guy didn't get prayed for, but the pastor just said, you know, when somebody comes up ahead of time and says, I don't believe in healing, it's kind of odd. So the guy didn't come back up.
I thought he said that he didn't believe, but being prayed for, well, it can't hurt.
No, but he didn't pray for him. He ended up not praying for him. Yeah.
But it can't hurt.
Yeah. Well, anyway, thank you, John. I appreciate you going through that again.
Yeah.
Because it's just, I mean, I don't want to go to any church where there's people that are, I don't know. Even if you don't totally believe it, you know, that's one thing.
No, I think it's because of lack of power. I think it's a lack of power.
I think you're right. I think you're absolutely right. Yeah, that's a very good point. Thank you. That makes me feel better.
Okay.
Thank you.
We have Rita next.
Yes, Captain John. I really don't have any comments or questions.
Okay.
But I'm blessed by the evening, though, by the teaching of this evening.
Good. All right.
So thank you.
And I'm going to take a guess here. This is Paula Jean. Hello? All right. All right. Let's have prayer. Father, I thank you for tonight, Lord, and I thank you for the history and the great outpouring of 1800, how it shook the country, Lord, and it ended up shaking the world through the missionary movement, Lord, that went out. The great outpouring of the Holy Spirit is for today. No amount of sin or corruption can stop a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit. When we cry out in faith, like McCready and his church did, and they believed, and they stayed with it, you answered the prayer, I think, beyond anything they could imagine, Lord. So we're staying on that, Lord, and we see you moving in such a mighty way in Pakistan, Lord. It's incredible in Pakistan. We want that same here, Lord. We want the same move of your spirit here like you're doing in Pakistan and East Africa, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We praise you and thank you. Lord, I believe that with all the loneliness here, these studies show how lonely the American people are. Lord, how full of fear they are, how so many are depressed, how many are lonely, Lord. They're looking for something to believe in, Lord, and they've got these bad ideologies, woke and communism and atheism and Islam, and they're rabid for supporting Hamas, a terrorist group.
So, Lord, they are all candidates for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. That's what we're asking for. A mighty outpouring to sweep across America. Lord, what took years with Pastor McCready and that great outpouring could take, Lord, weeks here now. With the electronics we have, the media we have, Lord. So, Lord, we are full of repentance of the sin, not hiding any sin, Lord. We have it out front. And we're asking, Lord, for we're in repentance of it for the nation. And we're asking for a mighty move of the Spirit, Lord, that these woke, these communists, I don't know what they are, Lord, judges, I don't know, just hard left, Lord, that you would get them out of the way. They're there, Lord, as they're trying to protect mutilating children, Lord, all of that, Lord, trying to force it on us. So, Lord, we're asking now for a mighty outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Get anyone out of the way, Lord, these politicians, get them out of the way of it. These judges, get them out of the way of it, Lord. And a sweeping move of the Holy Spirit, Lord, a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit, Lord, from the Atlantic to the Pacific. I don't say, you know, to Canada, Lord. I mean, let that border not separate us, Lord. Just a mighty outpouring would flow right from America to Canada, Lord. And the same down to Mexico, Lord. I'm not aware of a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit in Mexico. There seems to be a significant move of you in Guatemala, Lord. I'm aware of that. I don't know that much about the other South. I know what I hear now is a huge move of you in Brazil. That I know, Lord. But we're asking for a mighty outpouring to sweep Mexico, Lord, and down to El Salvador, Guatemala, Honduras, Lord, Nicaragua, Belize, Lord, Panama, right down into Colombia, Lord, Venezuela, all the ways down to the bottom of Argentina. A mighty move. Cuba, the Caribbean, the whole area. Then jump the Pacific right over to Japan, Lord. I don't think it's ever had a significant move of you. Into China, Lord, the outpouring to help the believers there, Lord. All through Asia, Lord, a mighty outpouring. Particularly Pakistan, Lord, where we've been ministering. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. No stopping this great outpouring, Lord. Huge end time harvest, Lord. And to Africa, Lord, East Africa, where we're ministering. We want to see an incredible amount of Muslims come to you, Lord. Imams, Muslims, pagans there, Lord, nominal Christians. Huge numbers coming to you. And then over into Europe, Lord, or Israel. Lord, a great outpouring in Israel, just like it was in Pentecost, Lord. I pray you would end the church age, Lord, when we're raptured with a great outpouring taking place in Israel and Jerusalem, just like it started. Hold on, folks. Pretty severe thunder. The house is shaking. It seems to be that way. I'm pointing.
John?
Stop. Sure. Yes.
Yeah, may I pray?
Yes, please.
Yes, you need to get undercover. Get Nancy and get undercover.
No, not yet. No.
Okay.
It stopped. It's all quiet now, but it was really rumbling there for, and it wasn't close, but it was that way I'm pointing to. It's behind my back over there.
We could see the look on your face. That told us a lot.
Yeah, because I could feel it. I could feel the house shaking, you know, and I could hear the rumbling. It was right back there.
Right.
Yeah, would you, you could pray.
Do you have a tornado warning?
This morning we did in possible tornadoes. Okay. But all day long it was severe thunder. I've actually come to think of it, I don't remember lightning. But lots of thunder and heavy rain, like I told you. Heavy rain, and then it would just stop. and then it would be okay for a half hour, 40, and then more thunder and that, and then heavy rain. And it didn't drizzle. I mean, it poured raining.
Okay. Well, let me go ahead and pray.
Yes.
I have faith to pray for that. I have faith to pray for that. And so, Lord, we lift you up. We lift your name up, Lord. You are miraculous, miracle-working, awesome God. You are the creator of everything, everything. And everything is in your hands. And we call upon you right now to protect John and his neighborhood and his son next door and their homes and their vehicles and their property. And you have protected him from so many storms. And so we're asking that you would put a hedge of protection around them. And Lord, you yourself spoke to the storm and it stopped. So in the mighty name of Jesus, that's what we're doing. We're speaking to that storm that it would stop, it would rise up and leave in the mighty name of Jesus. And we've seen you done it, that you did it before. I've seen it when I've prayed for people and for us. And so we know that you are in, these things are all in your hand. So we just thank you and we praise you in advance that you're going to continue to protect and watch over John and his family and even his neighborhood, Lord. Let it be a blessing to his neighborhood. And we just pray that in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you.
Amen.
All right. So I guess I wanted to get some music, but we're right at closing. So
yes, we are.
Do you want to keep going for a while with music?
It's up to you. I'm fine with it.
All right. So we'll do it. I mean, if for whatever reason, if you got to leave, that's fine. But all right, Sister Sharon, what song would you like?
Well, let's go with Our Lady's No More Tears. We can, All My Tears is what Holly's saying, All My Tears.
Gold and silver blinding. are one in the Spirit, we are one in the Lord. We are one in the Spirit, we are one in the Lord. And we pray that all unity may one day be restored. And they'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love. They will know we are Christians by our love. We will walk with each other. We will walk hand in hand. We will walk with each other. We will walk hand in hand. And together we'll spread the news that God is in our land. They will know we are Christians by our love. By our love, they will know we are Christians by our love. We will work side by side. We will work with each other. We will work side by side. And we'll guard each man's dignity and save each man's pride. They will know we are Christians by our love. By our love, they will know we are Christians by our love. Father, from whom all things will come, and all praise to Christ Jesus, his one and only Son, and all praise to the Spirit who makes us all as one. And they'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love. They will know we are Christians by our love. By our love, by our love, they will know we are Christians by our love. They will know we are Christians by our love, they will know we are Christians by our love.
Amen. I like Jerusalem, that song. I'm not good with names of songs. Sorry.
I'm just going with Desmond right now.
Okay.
He wanted I'll Fly Away.
Oh, okay. I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll
shackles on my feet, I'll fly away.
Do we have now?
There's that one, I forget who likes it so much, the New Jerusalem song.
Well, hang on, we have Rita here. Rita.
Okay.
I don't know. I'd like to hear the Amazing Grace by Glenn Campbell.
Oh, okay.
Now, boy, is there no beginning to this man's talent. Give me a chord.
Amazing grace, Lord, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious, dear, that grace appeared the hour I first believed.
Let's see. Is this Paula Jean? I guess not. All right. We're going to call it a night. Sister Sharon?
Yes.
Okay. We'll call it a night.
Yes. Amen. And I really enjoyed tonight.
Good.
And yes. And I just want to say, dear Father, thank you for allowing us this time together, this time to pray, and this time to learn and hear more of the great outpourings of the Holy Spirit. And I just pray that this was edifying to everybody who listened, and it'll be available in the archives later. And I just thank you, dear Father God, and I thank you for Chaplain John, and I just pray everything is safe in his area tonight and, well, forever. And in your name I do pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sister Sharon. Closing in prayer. All right. God bless everybody. Tomorrow night is prophecy night there, like a review of what took place during the week. And I'll be with Brother Dave. Brother Dave's hip is coming along very good. So God bless everybody. Amen. And remember, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ.
O God of burning, cleansing flame,
send the fire.
Your blood-bought gift today we claim.
Send the fire today.
Well, God of Elijah, hear our cry.